for 11 years in a row. Ranking Arizona's number one most trusted referral network, RosieOnTheHouse.com.
Information that you can't get anywhere else.
And over three decades of Rosie on the House.
And a great big good morning to hour two of Rosie on the House. Come on in. The door's wide open. And if that last hour didn't make you hungry, I don't know what we got to do to get you hungry. White Barn Hay and Cattle Company. You can custom order your own beef. That's the future of grocery shopping in my eyes.
And I understand if you were in the Phoenix market, you may not have heard our fourth segment. That will be on our website, and it was a really neat concept on, you know, taking your animal and putting him on his property for him to feed it. And if that happens, or if you want to catch the entire broadcast in its full, you can always go to rosieonthehouse.com/radio.
Absolutely.
A couple of our affiliates are music stations and don't have news feed cut-ins, so you can go stream it live and never miss a minute.
Well, I'm so hungry. I went out at the break to see if someone from the station had time to run down to the county fairgrounds.
That's a neat concept.
Do you know this weekend you can go to the Arizona State Fair and drive through the food court?
And that's the only thing at the State Fair.
That's it.
I understand.
That's it. But the food court. So I said, look, I want you to go down there and I want you to get me one fried pizza, one fried turkey leg, one fried pickle, one fried hot dog, one basket of Indian fry bread. I want you to bring back a wheelbarrow of State Fair fried food.
And a Diet Coke to go with it.
And a Diet Coke, exactly.
And the funny thing about the State Fair that ties in, a building at the State Fair gave me an idea I proposed to our guest in studio today, Mr. Don Ryden, Ryden Architects, he's a returning guest. And what is that style of roofing structure in the agricultural center where they have the auctions? It's this dome, and it's all these 2x6s at a weird cut angle. It's this huge, massive roof with no big beams. What is that style?
That is a structure called a lamella roof.
Lamella roof. And the idea was to talk about all the different types of ceiling structures that are out there you don't see anymore, because everything's these A-frame pre-built trusses that you get on a semi, and it's not this craftsmanship that you get to enjoy at an otherwise dilapidated facility.
Dilapidated.
At the fairgrounds in Maricopa County.
Well, we've invited Don Ryden back in the studio, repeat guest, because if you're a subscriber to our email weekly newsletter, you know, our topic of the week this week on the show is the Arizona indoor/outdoor lifestyle. And we couldn't think of anyone better to invite to a program to talk about how we got to this point in our housing history that we're able to enjoy the indoor-outdoor almost like none other before. So this is just one way we work to become your best friend. And you're welcome to join the conversation if you'd like to talk to Don as we get started here. 1-888-767-4348. Now, Don, we're talking indoor-outdoor lifestyle today and all the evolution of housing that's brought us here. It all started as outdoor living.
Absolutely. There wasn't anything else.
Outdoor living and a cave.
Yeah, pretty much.
You want to interior design or interior decorate? Just
hieroglyphics.
Yeah, you just paint a picture of your dog and the bear and the coyote and your hands on the wall.
That's interior decorating.
Interior decorating.
That's right.
Oh, man.
Or if you're really up and coming, you're going to build yourself in a comfortable house and go find a south-facing cave and build a cliff dwelling.
Absolutely ingenious. And they didn't have the wherewithal to do BTU calculations or our thermal insulation calculations. By trial and error, they established, well, south makes sense. It'll give us a winter sun. And by trial and error, they figured out what size block to make to transfer the heat on a 12-hour basis. They had security system built in, right?
That's right, way up on the cliff.
Yeah, you going to climb up here and get me?
Yeah, exactly. They had their backyard garden down below in the on the creek.
On the irrigated creek. And every lot was a premium view lot.
That is indeed true, especially at like Montezuma's castle.
When you start studying what went into those housing structures, their whole life was spent around survival and comfort. And now we're basically still focused on those same things.
All right. It's the basis of human existence to have your shelter and your food and your security. And even today, we're searching for exactly the same things that were important to people 1,000 years ago. Different cultures entirely, but we all still have a human connection to the outdoors, probably just hardwired into us from thousands of years.
It is. I mean, we start in caves. We start by trial and error engineering cliff dwellings, mud huts, excavated pit homes, various forms wherever you were that you were, your society was evolving. But let's fast forward up to fairly recent times. Let's say the last 100 years.
Oh, within our human memory, right?
Within our human memory.
You and me.
One of my favorite books is Bill Bryson's book, The History of the Home, and it talks about the history of every room in the house. Let's talk a little bit about the evolution of today's indoor-outdoor living home, and where can we trace that to?
I think probably most recognizable source of an indoor-outdoor concept was that of none other than Frank Lloyd Wright.
Okay.
Back in Chicago in about 1900, he and some of his colleagues there developed a concept called the Prairie House. He was trying to create a brand new American architecture. He was rebelling against the Victorian-style houses that were all very tight little boxes, dark and cluttered and very vertical in their character. And he enjoyed living out on the plains of Illinois and in Wisconsin. And so he went horizontal with his prairie houses and came up with ideas of how to create windows and large opening doors and rooms that were open, were flowing, and the architecture itself was weightless. It was very different from what we call open plan houses today. His plans flowed. They weren't big empty rooms.
Now that's, okay, we'll get back to that because I think that's a lot of what you see now. People call it open floor plans. It's just empty, naked space.
That's exactly right.
I can't design my way out of a paper bag, but to me, it's really ugly. It's very bare.
Yes.
No character in it at all.
Right.
But it seems to be the current trend.
It is. It is.
Well, I've fast-forwarded here. Let's go back to Frank Lloyd Wright bringing the concepts of the Prairie House in, going from the upright Victorian that you see all through the East Coast, the row houses, what they were building in their homelands when they immigrated to the United States. And now we're going to start flattening those floor plans, spread them out a little bit, and create a lot of opportunities to bring outside inside.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He was just revolutionary in his approach to the indoor-outdoor lifestyle. And I suppose he practiced it best and learned all about it with his 1938 winter camp. Heath called it a camp. We call it Taliesin West. So he saw it kind of as the wintertime getaway from Taliesin North. And
in the 1930s, that was a pretty good journey.
Oh, yeah. They had a caravan.
In the 1930s, yeah. It was a pretty good journey to go from downtown Phoenix to Taliesin.
Oh, yeah, right. Pack a lunch.
Oh, man, all dirt road.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was and but I will. I don't know the man. Never met him. Have admired his work, but being in the foot of the McDowells since the 60s, I've walked Taliesin and its surrounding property 1,000 times, and you can't help but try and imagine what it was like digging that first footing in the 1930s and saying, he was remote.
Oh, yes. He was out there on the edge. And what a view all across the valley.
It was absolutely gorgeous.
And they're opening back up for tours
this
month.
Yeah.
They've been, I don't know how long they've been closed, or I don't. Sometimes in the summer, just naturally, they close. It's
right.
We're not as hardy as Frank Lloyd Wright was, because I understand even in the summer, he still wore a full 3-piece suit, because he always said, you never know when you're going to meet a client. And and they're open for tours now again.
That's great. So that's kind of the deal. He was really a fellow who was trying to express the spirit of democracy in America, and the freedom of the individual as an individual. And I have a quote here that he wrote about 6 years before his death in 1959. He says, this idea of the spirit of democracy took hold of the old-fashioned Victorian house as we know it, took off the attic, pulled off the porch, yanked out the basement, and made a single, spacious, harmonious unit of the living room, dining room, and kitchen with appropriate entry convenience. He was writing that for you today, Rosie.
In the 50s.
Appropriate entry convenience. He's talking about indoor-outdoor living without quite getting to it.
From Frank Lloyd Wright's own pen and mouth, brought to you by Mr. Don Ryden, who we're going to be back with here in just a couple of minutes. Y'all stay tuned.